Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Seconds after that, we're going kind of early today. Well, all right then.
A little bit.
It's the longer show everybody's been asking for.
This is what the networks do, and this is what happens when I use my DVR, that the first 30 seconds of shows are cut off.
You need the TiVo clip function for this. All right. After the hour of noon, and this the month of May in the year of our Lord 2006, thank you for coming along, making it a part of your listening day, friends and neighbors, boys and girls, children of all ages. It is the Rick Emerson Show, live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970. Solid State Radio, proud part of the CBS Radio family. Thank you for coming along. We are live from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of today's program, if you'd like to do it electronically, you can do that as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. I have right there. I have in my hands tantalizing and probably pointless news about Axl Rose.
Right there.
Axl, I'll just give you the headline. Why, I'm not even going to tease this. Blah, 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 Axl Rose, new album, blah, 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 Chinese Democracy, yada, yada, finally coming out, blah, blah, blah.
There you go.
We'll read it later so you can get all excited and then disregard it in like 3 months when the album never comes out. It's 503-733-2970. You can email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Coming up later on today, David Blaine's skin begins peeling away in sheets. Just in time for the lunch hour. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten is in New York. We're going to see if today, he may finally get to go up and rap on the glass, making David Blaine soil himself like an excitable gerbil at the pet store. What else? CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard will be talking about drunken Kennedys. I don't really know that he was drunk, but he was apparently reeking of gin and doped up to the gills on pills of some kind.
He was just getting ready to go out and vote.
He was... Thank you. That was Tim Riley. Zing, 2 points. We got a religious nutcase watch coming up later on today. Find out who ended their marriage with the phrase, "I hope you get cancer of the face." Peter Carlin for the Oregonian is going to be here for the Sopranos recap. Which is kind of point. Last night I call it a whole lot of nothing happening on The Sopranos. Just a whole lot of me looking at my watch, watching the time tick away, wondering when something was going to take place.
I was totally doing the same thing.
To me,
I was just watching the clock, like this needs to pick up at some point.
Seriously, like I'm giving away moments of my life. The worst part is that there's only 4 episodes left. I will redouble on all of this later, but we'll recap. But let me just say this about last night's Sopranos episode. 2 things. A, there's only 4 episodes left, and you sit there frittering away precious time, doing nothing. And B, sons of bitches, they know that we just care about the DeVito stuff. That's it. They know. They are fully aware. David Chase knows what we need. All we care about is Vito and his Johnny Cakes and his little pleasant hideaway in New Hampshire. Are they giving us that? No. That's it. There's a whole lot of nothing last night. Anyways, we'll talk to Peter Carlin from the Oregonian about that. What else? Well, this news pile. So forth. Oh, Clyde Lewis, news at Ground Zero later on. Your phone calls, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. 503-733-2970. Joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dildon, who is holding things together today. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Okay. And
how
you
are
have,
you?
And you have leather elbow patches on your sweater.
I do.
It's kind of a weird double mint twin meets Harvard professor look you have going on today.
It's true. It's all my right. Favorite look.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification at the City Desk.
There's a new CIA chief, so get ready to hate him. Tony Blair and Dick Cheney refuse to quit. Howard Dean and Tom DeLay go at it. And we'll commemorate the anniversary of the death of Dana Plato.
All right. There you go. And Axl Rose news, right here. I'm going to read it. It's going to be instantly outdated. So we'll do that later on. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. All of that coming up today. Then like us, the three world-famous Phil Henry Show at 7.
We'll try to get to this.
Oh, and I have a thing about do-it-yourself dentistry. And it contains the word blackened jagged stump. And it's not, and I didn't even come up with it myself. Tim found it. This is how great this show is. Tim came in this morning. You'll have to read the story. It's got a blackened tooth stump. I pick it up, sure enough, there it is. With a visual aid, by the way. Yeah. Good time. That's the kind of quality programming that sets us apart here at CBS Radio. And speaking of CBS Radio, so here is my morning. So all weekend long, all night last night, I'm preparing for this sales meeting that I had this morning over at the building on First, because CBS Radio is split into three different buildings. You know what it is? We're sort of a holy trinity here. It's like a three persons in one God kind of a thing. Here we've got the three buildings in one company, with Kink sort of being the God figure who can do, you know, the omnipotent, all-powerful Kink that can do whatever they want. And then there's us. We're sort of the Jesus. And then over at First Avenue, they're sort of the Holy Ghost. And did you notice this? That in the Catholic Church over the last 20 years, it somehow went from being the Holy Ghost to being the Holy Spirit. There must have been, there was like focus grouping that went on. They discovered that Holy Ghost was frightening people, keeping them away from the church. But at some point, the Holy Ghost transmogrified into the Holy Spirit. But that's what the building over on First is. So I'm over there this morning. And really, in a large way, I always say that Sarah's the organ grinder and I'm the monkey, but it really is that way in sales meetings, too. Because I kind of am, like at all the sales meetings they have here at CBS Radio, because I function not only in my role as talent, but also I'm theoretically a manager of some kind, which is just, I mean, I'm really only pretending to be. Really, all my managerial skills are just those that I've seen, in episodes of... some show on TV. Like if you watch that Miles Dentrell guy in 30-something, like I've just been ripping off his act for the last like 2-3 years. That's it. I don't really know how to manage.
So they show you pictures of stick figures on projection screens scratching their heads with light bulbs on top?
So I'm over there this morning and I'm doing this thing called a composite, which is where you get all the salespeople in a room and, you know, who knows? Maybe they've listened to the station, maybe they haven't, maybe they're familiar with it, maybe they're not. But I got to do that thing of summing up the radio station in 4 minutes, and that's a lot of fun, especially... It is one of those moments when I understand how difficult it must have been for the people at, say, Entercom or the various consultants to try to deal with this program. Because literally, they're like, can you pick a 2-minute segment of your show just emblematic and representative of everything the Rick Emerson Show does? Why don't you try summing up this program in 2 minutes someday? That's a lot of fun. It was actually so difficult, I ended up not even doing it myself. I just found this guy, Chris, who's one of the part-timers here. I'm like, look, here's a bunch of tapes of the show. Find something that represents everything we do. Make it less than 90 seconds and absolutely entertaining. Oh, no profanity or blasphemy of any kind. So I'm over there, and it's just this. It's just the opening. That's all. That's what he picked. He just picked me talking over the Dream Theater saying what was coming up. So here's another Sisyphean task, by the way. In case you think that your job is difficult, why don't you sift through hours and hours of the Tom Likas Show trying to find 3 minutes that you can play for a predominantly female sales force at 8:30 on a Monday morning without everybody feeling awkward. That's a lot of fun. It's me last night sitting at my house, bringing in my wife as like a one-woman focus group in my office at home, saying, honey, which of these would you say is less offensive? Now, I've got the one where he, quote, dumps that bitch at the Space Needle because she complains that he's using coupons. And then I've got this one over here where he's talking about women putting a bounty on their vaginas. Now, which of these... She picked the vagina one, by the way, is the one to play. I did not play that one. I opted to play the one that was vagina-free. A whole lot of fun. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's do our best to capture that target demographic with this, Tim Riley, at the City Desk.
It's time for the Rick Emerson New News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
We need a graphic of people of different colors holding hands.
Totally.
and the Rick Emerson Show underneath.
You know what we really need? We need this. Have you ever worked at a radio station where they did this, where they actually clipped out of, like, some Good Housekeeping magazine a person or a family that you were talking to?
Yes.
And they always give her a name. This is Debbie. And it's always a blonde white woman. Always. I don't care what format you're working in. It doesn't matter. You could be working in the Celtic Frost format. Doesn't matter. There's always a picture of a blonde, blue-eyed white woman. And she's like baking a cupcake with a child of questionable ethnicity. That's it, to show that you have a broad appeal, but it is basically suburbanites in one form or another. And they will laminate that picture, and they will put that picture in front of the microphone, and that is who you are supposed to address all of your on-air comments to, is the white woman. That's it. And then, sometimes, if you're working at like a hot AC radio station, yeah, they'll, not only will they put up the white woman that you're talking to, but they will then put up like an actual sign that is just a guy smiling with a huge note underneath it that you are supposed to smile every time you open the microphone. Because here's the thing, 'cause the longer you work in music radio, the more you're just beaten down, the more your soul is crushed and your will to live is sapped and sucked away, ounce by precious ounce, your life force draining away like so much sewage down a hole in the floor. And so they have to remind you to sound like you're happy to be there. That's it, man. So we didn't do that, but
that's happened to me before. I used to leave the building when I came to the fourth time of playing a Garth Brooks song. And the evening I did that, somebody got shot right in front of me in a van.
Ah, good times.
Then I went back in and locked the door. Like that was going
to
save me.
Radio is a path to happiness for everybody.
Well, let's see what's happening here. From the top to bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland. Look at that.
The best part is that this is the show that all the salespeople are listening to. Like there's 60% of the people over there that don't even know where the station is on the dial. Yes. Today is the day. I'm going to listen to this fantastic new radio station I heard about in the sales presentation this morning. It sounds like everything is done in a compelling and professional manner with no errors and a complete accuracy in all counts.
Well, here are the noobs. President Bush has named Air Force General Michael Hayden to head the CIA. He has a lot of medals. He's currently the deputy of the National Intelligence Director, John Negroponte. And making the official announcement at the White House, Bush said Hayden has a lot of experience in the area of intelligence.
Mike has more than 20 years of experience in the intelligence field. He served for 6 years as director of the National Security Agency.
I don't even understand what this is about. Who is this for? What?
This is the new head of the CIA.
Fine.
General Michael Hayden.
All right.
Hayden thanks the president for picking you for the job.
Mr. President, thank you for those kind words and for the confidence that you and Ambassador Negroponte have shown in me in nominating me for this position.
Here's the thing about getting the job as the head of the CIA. This is like, do you remember that scene in Independence Day where Bill Pullman, they take him to Area 51 and they show him the room where they keep the web-toed aliens?
Yes.
I always wonder, and I'm fascinated by this, I always wonder when you get the job as head of the CIA, head of the FBI, if there's some big debriefing meeting where literally they show you like all of the secret passages, like they show you all the J. Edgar Hoover black files, you know what I mean? Where you just like, no, it's true. Look, the Sphinx was for alien launching pads. Mormonism is the one true faith. There is no Loch Ness monster. There is a Sasquatch. Like, I wonder if they just go down the list and just tell you all the cool secret stuff.
You know, that could be. I don't know. We'll have to ask. Anyway, Dick Cheney was asked, shouldn't he be stepping down next?
Well, I'm not sure it would be an advantage, but that's not my concern. My term ends in January of 2009, and barring some unforeseen disaster, that's what I'll do.
All right.
Tony Blair, isn't it about time you step down?
I've said I will ensure a stable and orderly transition. I will do it with the time necessary for my successor to establish themselves. But in the meantime, if we want to win a fourth term, we should concentrate on governing.
Thank the maker.
No, seriously, Tony Blair, isn't it about time you stepped down?
There are real issues out there that concern people, and they will not thank me or my party if instead of concentrating on those issues, we engage in endless speculation.
You know, that guy just wakes up every day and looks in the mirror and just rues the moment when he decided to stick by Bush through all of this crap, because that is just a man, he's just around his ankle like an anchor. The worst decision he possibly could. And he has to, but he's one of those, he just won't admit that he's wrong. So every single day is just a living, walking hell on earth for that guy because he allied with the wrong president.
Meanwhile, Tori Spelling got married over the weekend to someone named Dean McDermott. It was a non-denomination.
Wouldn't Dean McDermott a character in 90210?
I don't know.
No, that was Dylan McDermott.
Yeah, there was, I don't recognize this guy, but well, he's the ugliest thing.
They met last year filming the TV movie Mind Over Murder.
Not like seriously. Not
I
like
thought that
some,
it was bad.
Some huge prize or anything.
He'd been married for 12 years to a girl named Mary Jo.
Have you seen that?
She's a spelling, though.
Yeah, that promo for, whatever that, what's
oh,
that
Notorious?
Show? Notorious?
Yeah,
so Notorious? Was like the one promo I saw, they show her almost entirely from the back. Mm-hmm. It's just, they don't even, like, the camera guy's doing everything he can. Like, the camera guy's just going through all of these contortions and machinations to not show her face. Because once you show the face with that girl, it's all over. It's that your tote board starts to fall. And so the entire promo is just following. All you see is just the back of the head and then, like, a bunch of blonde curls. And then at the last moment, it's like some terrible crying game sort of a thing where you're all into, like, did you ever do this? And I know you have. If you're a guy, this has happened to you. Have you ever been, you're walking through the mall, you're in the car, you're down the sidewalk, whatever, and you see some hot chick from the back, you're like, look at that chick, with the long flowing, and then you get to the front, it's a dude. That's happened to every guy, where it's like you, especially back in the late 80s, early 90s, when there was some, you know, everybody was dressing like they were a member of Poison, and you would totally see, like, rail thin girl walking down the street, long blonde hair, fistful of, you know, like an armful of bracelets. And you're like, hey, who's the... And then you get around to the front, it's just some dude from Great White is walking on the street, and then you've got to go home and lock yourself in a room and question your own manhood for a good day and a half. That's what it is with Tori Spelling. You know, it's a party in the back, just a whole lot of mud fence in the front.
Lindsay Lohan is shaking off rumors that she parties too hard and battles substance abuse. On the Today Show, she said everything's fine. She was responding to Matt Lauer's comment that she is known these days for her nightlife. The actress did say she hopes people will know her for her work and not her car accidents.
And what is her work exactly?
I believe she's a noted actress.
What is the last thing she's done?
Her latest comedy is Just My Luck. It hits theaters on Friday.
Sarah Dillon?
I'm sorry, who?
Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, she had that Herbie the Love Bug, and then she's doing Just My Luck and another movie that's coming out this summer, too.
All right, so there you go. Well, she is singing. Where did she come from?
She was a Disney brat.
Is that it? But yeah, was she a singer first or an actress?
No, she was
first.
An actress. She was in Freaky Friday when she was like 10.
Okay.
The last American to see the Titanic sink has passed away over the weekend at her home at the age of 99. Lillian Asplund was on the unsinkable vessel when it was hit by an iceberg some 94 years ago. She was an extremely private person, did not discuss the tragic accident.
All right. I'm not. There's just all these jokes that I'm going to make, and I'm just not because I'm above it.
Well, listen to this. A new survey shows most of the people who watch the news channels, Fox News especially, are at least 60 years old.
And dumb.
MSNBC is next on the rickety scale with 57 years old. So it doesn't, they don't try to attract younger people.
Well, because everybody I know just gets their news from the Daily Show. Lauren and I were talking about this the other day where she had the day off from work, and so she actually sat home and watched the television news. Not to knock the television news, because... For example, Coin News 6, I know that they're at the forefront of bringing you whatever it is that they bring you. But
they bring it home, Rick.
Do they?
Yes, they bring the news home.
Is that the new? I thought they were bringing, I thought it was something else.
No, we've had this discussion. It's not to the point anymore.
God,
we're bringing news home.
Well, they just figure out what the hell they're doing. Okay, so it's no longer to the point, but it is at home. So it's sort of a trade-off.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Laura, for once, she stayed home and she watched the television news, and her comment was that you could actually feel yourself getting stupider the longer you watch it. It's completely true. Do you know anybody under the age of, like, Polident use that sits at home and watches Fox News for long periods of time? My guess would be that you don't. So it's just, it's a whole lot of bad. Rick, summing up the show, this email says, I'm going to see my San Diego friends in June. I plan to bring the tape of the show from last month where you did the clown watch with the phrase, plying his clown trade. That segment sums up the greatness of you and Tim. Here's the segment, by the way, that they picked to play at the, in the sales meeting this morning. And again, I didn't have a chance to listen to it because I was busy trying to put together, I was busy trying to find some segment from Henry that wasn't racially insightful. Insightful. What is
incisive?
Insightful.
Insightful. Let's stick with that one.
What is that word? Because insightful is not like you're having an insight. What is the word that is though you're inciting something?
Incisive?
They can't both be insightful. Whatever.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Trying to find some show from Henry where it wasn't somebody backing over, you know, Wasn't somebody backing over an immigrant slowly with his Buick, which is like all his show was the last couple of weeks. And I was trying to find some segment of Likas that wasn't going to be horrifying to everybody. And so the segment that this guy Chris picked to represent the Rick Emerson show for the salespeople is that show from last Friday from the Cinco de Mayo, where we opened the show with me saying, Sarah Dillon's putting a large cylindrical tube of meat into her mouth.
Burrito?
When you were eating your burrito from the kitchen, that was the very first thing that the salespeople heard about the Rick Emerson show.
Oh, that's great, Rick.
Yeah. Top tier advertisers for that. Blying his clown trade. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, pedophiles have become the de facto star of the May ratings suites. For instance, KCBS TV in Los Angeles.
Not on
this station.
Okay.
CBS Television Los Angeles promoting a piece of child molesters living near Disneyland.
Okay. There you go. Good times.
We're just giving out factual information.
It's true. All right.
Let's do a Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
High-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
I got three of these suckers today. First... The creative Spider-Man and the Incredible Hulk is on the hunt for a new superhero, and he plans to find it on reality television. Stan Lee says his new reality show, Who Wants to Be a Superhero, breaks new ground. I've never lived in a world of reality, quipped the 83-year-old writer. 11 wannabe superheroes, whittled down from 200, are set to compete in the show, which is scheduled to premiere July 26th on the Sci-Fi Channel. The winning superhero will be the star of a new comic book created by Lee. Meanwhile, Bernie Mac and Josh Duhamel have signed on to star in Michael Bay's live-action Transformers big-screen adaptation. Mac and Duhamel will join the already announced cast of Shia LaBeouf.
I'm sorry, who?
Shia LaBeouf.
What a gay porn star. Fifi LaRue has signed on to. All right.
John Bott, Megan Fox, John Turturro, John Robinson, and Travis Van
Winkle. This whole thing is like a verbal minefield here.
Bernie Mac will play a salesman who sells
one big linguistic
Mr. LaBeouf's character, his first Transformer.
One big linguistic obstacle course.
Her, I mean car.
I don't even understand.
Well, production begins this month, and we'll move along to part three.
I don't even understand.
I don't know.
What's going on here? Bernie, it really does. It does look like Shia LaBeouf.
Who is she?
I have no idea.
Shia LaBeouf. He was on Even Stevens on.
Why doesn't
Disney
he change
Channel.
His name?
Kind of.
Was that the only thing left at?
The Screen Actors Guild. Everything else was taken. What? I don't understand. What kind of a name is Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf.
LaBeouf.
He's a Disney sweetheart. Another Disney kid. He was in Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle.
Why do you know these things?
Because I loved Shia LaBeouf when I was in college.
Who? Okay.
Shia LaBeouf.
I don't. It just sounds like some sort of. It sounds like some sort of an
and
entree.
He was in that movie, the golf movie, the greatest game that was ever played.
Okay.
No, I didn't do that one.
It just sounds like something you'd order with your baked Alaska. Let me try this again. Bernie Mac and Josh Duhamel have signed on to star Michael. You know that it's going to be a good film when you hear the phrase Michael Bay's live action adaptation of. The I'm unclear about how this Transformers movie is even going to play out. This Transformers movie is sort of it's like the Chinese democracy of action films. Because it's been in the works forever. I don't understand. I don't know whether it's live action. How can you do... Logically speaking...
Let's breathe, Rick.
I'm just saying, logically speaking, how can you do live action Transformers?
Well, it's America. You can do anything.
America's land of opportunity. I mean, is it going to be live people and then CGI Transformers? Is that...
If it's live action, it sounds like they're going to be dressed up as Transformers.
Yeah, let's do that one.
That sounds fantastic.
That'll make the story move along quicker.
Some guy in a cardboard suit going... Wah, 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 wah. Well, all right, let's do part three of the Geek Watch.
Let me try to make it through this one.
By everything today.
Star Wars producer Rick McCollum was interviewed about upcoming George Lucas projects by Sci-Fi Wire at Tuesday Saturn Awards. He said about the highly anticipated Star Wars live-action television series, quote, George is starting to start the basic concept of it. We're interviewing writers. We're seeing a lot of people. But I'd say it's not going to be happening for another 18 months.
I just want to have a show called George Lucas Rapes Your Childhood. And it's just George Lucas sitting there on stage with a big pile of your dollars and stuff and just and then just like...
Waiting outside Disneyland for your children.
I don't even... Why would you say that? No, it's just... Him, never mind. We'll move on. Is that the end of the Geek Watch?
Not quite. No. It'll take place in the time frame between episode 3 and 4 with all new characters. And then, they're missing a 20-year period when Luke is growing up. Think Bounty Hunter. Okay, we will. Let's get rid of this story as soon as possible.
No.
We've been thinking long and hard.
Why did you use the phrase George Lucas waiting outside? Did not George Lucas rape your children? George Lucas rapes your childhood. You're thinking of a different kind of show.
Perhaps so.
That stars
Paul
Rubens.
I've been watching too much television news, I suppose.
Yes, that's the new Pee Wee Herman show. Let's move along to the end of the Geek Watch. There you go. There's your Geek Watch for us. We're going to take a break here.
By the Sons of Warband, I shall avenge.
We're going to come back with more, including Clyde Lewis. Don't go anywhere.
Loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. A little stumpy spool. That's your phrase of the day that pays in May. Or whatever. Oh, Sarah Dillon said that, by the way. Well, the key phrase from this New York Times article is, extracted part of his own tooth with a pair of pliers, leaving a black stump. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right.
In the meantime, they're trying to help the people of Iran and Iraq.
Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard about the drunken Kennedys. And also, it's Tony Snow's first day in the job. Scott McClellan is gone. Tony Snow is now the new White House spokesperson. So we'll see how long it takes for him to crack. What else? Gary Baumgarten from New York City about David Blaine. What else? We'll try to get to the top five. Peter Carlin is going to be here to talk about The Sopranos. Like, it's a three-world-famous Phil Henry show at 7. We got more at the City Desk in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from an underground lair somewhere in Beaverton. It's Clyde Lewis from Ground Zero. How are you, sir?
How's it going today?
It's going well, my friend. What's up in the world of Clyde?
Oh, I don't know. I've been doing a lot of research. I'm still doing some research on the movie V for Vendetta, because it's just that film that just continues to haunt me, and I can't seem to get it out of my head. But I managed to found some interest. I found some really interesting things. Like, for example, did you know that a lot of people believe that Guy Fawkes, the character that that V is supposed to be depicting, was framed by King James? That what happened is that King James wanted to go to Spain, and wanted to make war with Spain, and so he wanted to get sympathy from the people by making them look like he was being persecuted against. So he basically devised the gunpowder plot, and then they framed Guy Fawkes and like three or four other conspirators, and then he had him hanged in the public square and then drawn and quartered.
Slow day in Cubicle Land.
What's that?
I think we should do a bit where you present three theories that all sound kind of crazy, and then one of them is actually real.
I think it'd be kind of fun to do that, yeah. I mean, I don't know, but it's just, I was just like reading up on that yesterday.
Who does that? Who's like sits around? And, you know what I do?
People who sit in cubicles.
I sit around, I clip my fingernails, I look at the wall, I figure out, you know, and see if there's anything on television. I look through the cupboard for carby foods to eat.
I was doing some very heavy research into things. You know, I had some time this weekend to just kind of, you know, read up on some stuff, and
I'm
writing an article.
I'm just saying you're cut from a different cloth. Sarah Dillon, she sits around, she watches Degrassi Junior High, she picks out a sweater to wear. Tim sits around, walks the dog. You know, Clyde, I'm going to sit around. I'm going to look up.
Finding out interesting things. Like
reptilian
drunk
aliens.
I mean,
reptilian aliens who are the secret child of Jesus, who are in the royal bloodline, who are really training Shetland ponies to take over the world.
Every moment with me.
Via 7-Elevens. All right. So now you're going to be talking about this tonight?
I might, but what I really am interested in is this whole situation with the CIA and how we have a general now running the CIA. That's a clear signal that the puzzle pieces, or at least the chess pieces, are being put into play for a major war.
Did you see that? My thing. We'll laugh about this later. See, the Catholic Church is threatening to sue the guy who wrote the Da Vinci Code for slandering the good name of Catholics everywhere.
They're not slandering anything, because I'll tell you what, if you want to read about Marian background in the church, they do talk about the idea of this whole situation. In fact, I was doing some more research on that, too, that in the movie V for Vendetta, they have that symbol that the Fingermen have, the Cross of Lorraine.
Right,
and the Cross of Lorraine is a Merovingian symbol that does that represents that very thing that the Catholic Church is suing the Da Vinci Code not to talk about, and that is that there is the I guess they say the man-god or the man-child that has both the arm of Satan and the arm of Jesus Christ, the blood flowing through his veins. You can look at old poems that are written about that time during the time of King James and others, where the French and the Merovingians wanted the bloodline to be, you know, they wanted it to be pure, and they still are looking for that Merovingian guy to be the leader of the world, and that, of course, leads us to the discussions about the Antichrist and other creepy things. And of course, that's happening June 6th.
Do you
666.
Do you frighten your coworkers? Do you think?
Actually, this one guy named Chris Hertz, who I work with, he's an amazing guy.
Sure to use
every day
name.
He says to me, Clyde, what's the fabulous weird fact of the day? And he has me say it before we go to work. He says, I can't get through the day unless I have a fabulous weird fact.
Here's what I want you to do at your work, Clyde. Mm-hmm. I want you to start ending all of your statements with the phrase, in accordance with prophecy. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is. What are you doing? I'm going to Starbucks in accordance with prophecy. Just start ending all... Anybody who bothers you, if you can't get enough alone time in the bathroom, that will get you some personal space, my friend.
I think what I'm going to do is, tonight at Dante's, at the end of everything, I'll say, this is all according to prophecy.
Yeah, and then just randomly throw things.
We're also organizing I'm calling the anti-Christmas party because it's basically, you know, a day for the Antichrist, which is 666. Uh-huh. So it's kind of an anti-Christmas party at Dante's, and we're probably going to have Cleveland play, I Can Lick Any SOB in the House. Also, the punk group said they may want to do it, and it's just kind of like an informal little celebration for a once-in-a-life celebration of 666. Yeah, so,
good fitting, Lisa.
Okay. And the website is at ClydeLewis.com. You got to find a way to come be on the show one of these days. I know you're molding the youth of tomorrow and all.
Yeah. Do you have any days off anytime soon?
I may be able to do it on a Wednesday. I'm off every other Friday. Sometimes I'm off every other, I'll be off this Friday. And I do have some time. I may just pop in. I don't want to pop in unannounced because I know you have a very busy schedule, but I'd love to do that. All that'd right. be fun.
Clyde, it's never too busy for
Clyde,
you.
Clyde, you are never an imposition, Clyde.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So tonight at Dante's, and read more at Clyde Lewis.
Also, groundzeroradio.com. My MySpace is groundzeroradio. Go to my MySpace. I'm blogging some really cool blogs. I think you'll like them.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. There you go. There's Clyde Lewis. All right. What?
Oh, so that was a very nice interview.
I was completely... It's just... You'll note, and now again, and I don't mean to impugn Clyde or what he does, because you know that I'm Clyde's biggest fan.
I know
you know I'm a huge fan of Clyde Lewis.
As we
but maybe sometimes the, I don't is, think the people know.
I'm just saying, look, let's call a spade here. It is sometimes difficult to... It is when Clyde is just talking about, well, look, I'm having this very special celebration for the Antichrist. It's like, what? How is one logically supposed to respond to that? I'm not making fun of Clyde, because Clyde does what he does, but it's like, how...
Three balloons for the kids.
Yeah, there's really no, like, there's no card for that. There's no glib response to you having a celebration for the Antichrist. They don't make any floral arrangement for that at FTD. What are you supposed to do? It's just, it is often difficult to find the appropriate rejoinder to Clyde's statements about reptiles and Jesus. I don't really know where to go with that sometimes. I do the best I can. I'm Clyde's biggest fan. All right, it's 503-733-2. 970. Oh, we do have an answer about the Transformers, by the way. To no one's surprise, this comes to us from our good friend Aaron.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Aaron Geek in the city. Rick, about the Transformers, this movie has been in development for a good long while, but they can do live-action Transformers the same way they do live-action dinosaurs and Star Wars. You see, Rick, a galaxy far, far away doesn't really exist. Neither do tropical islands that time forgot with roaming dinosaurs or magically shifting wizard and witch schools. It's called a movie. Just saying. That's Aaron. Okay, that wasn't really my point. I was just wondering how it was. No need to be jerky about it. I was just wondering how they were going to be achieving the Transformer effects. Jerks. It was my only question. Here's Tim Riley.
Matt was on the TV tonight. The Lindsay Lohan Film Festival is on Starz. It's The Parent Trap, immediately followed by Herbie Fully Loaded.
All right. Don't watch any of those films.
Then see 18,000 Dogs in the Cuffs Dog Show 2006 on the Animal Channel. And attention, film students. Roberto Rossellini's Open City is on tonight, commonly thought of as the first film noir.
Okay.
Out of a series of his Rebel movies, so make sure you see
What
that.
Channel is that
Sundance,
on?
Sundance, of course.
All right.
Sundance. Meanwhile, Brad Pitt is buying a home in the Dominican Republic. He's now identified as the Troy actor. He reportedly fell in love with a tropical island after visiting during filming. He spent 4 days touring the Caribbean country and splashed out for a luxury pad on the island. He wants a summer home to be like his old home in Los Angeles. Therefore, he chose the Dominican Republic.
Isn't the Dominican Republic, well, it's...
there's always a civil war going on.
Well, and it's half of Haiti, right? Isn't that the same thing? It's like it's basically... The Dominican Republic, or the DR, as the people call it, it's sort of like that Brady Bunch episode where Peter and Bobby split the room halfway down the middle with white paint, and half of it is Haiti, and half of it is the Dominican Republic, which is sort of like, and Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere in a bad place, filled with bad people. And so I don't really know, it doesn't seem like the Dominican Republic is going to be some paradise on earth. It's sort of like trying to keep the smoke in the smoking half of the restaurant.
It's where people line up for a glass of dirty water.
Exactly. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, Sheila Beef, or whatever, was also the star of the movie Holes. Says Todd the Corpse.
Yeah, he's adorable.
Okay.
Top of the Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch for Monday. The Rick Emerson Show.
There were two Britney stories today. She has hired a babysitter for her hubby. One of our favorite words. The Oops, I Did It Again crooner is paying for a minder slash bodyguard to keep an eye on her aspiring rap star husband, Kevin, according to In Touch Weekly. The last thing Britney wants to do is to accompany Kevin on all his club dates, says an insider.
All of his club dates. Now, do we know if he's coming here? Do we know if there's any sort of a tour? If he's going to be coming anywhere approaching Portland? Because he did that thing in Vegas that Lowe was going to go to and then didn't. But see, if he was coming here, I could take that out of petty cash. I can scrape up $90. We can go see Kevin Federline. I'd do that.
Well, the move reportedly came after one of Spears' most trusted security guys, an ex-CIA agent named Richard, quit because of Federline's partying. Richard is a straight-laced guy, and he is upset with Kevin's behavior, a pal told the mag. Spears eventually convinced Richard to return after promising to do something about her partying hubby. I'll take care of the Kevin situation, she allegedly promised, if you'll take care of me. Part two. And the most important part. It seems that Britney Spears' little son, Sean Preston, will soon have a baby sister. That's baby sister to play with. As rumors are abuzz that Spears is expecting a baby girl. The singer reportedly told pals that ultrasound scans have revealed she's due to have a sister for 7-month-old Sean Preston. Britney said she and hubby Kevin Federline are starting to decorate their nursery pink because of the October arrival.
The problem with this whole Britney and having kids is whether you want it, I don't know, maybe it's just me, whether you want it or not, it kicks up images in your head of Kevin Federline having sex with Britney, or with anybody. And I don't want those. Those are visuals I could live without. I do not need those floating around in my cortex, but thank you very much.
But the typical California divorce where a woman in her 20s comes after the second child.
Is it me, or does Britney Spears look like she's aging exponentially, too?
Yes.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, well, look, we all know that childbirth is hard. Having a child, it wreaks all kinds of havoc on various areas of your body. Your face starts to look all bad. Eyes start to get all burned. You start to look like the one-man Star Wars guy, where you're waiting for somebody to come by and put a bullet in your brain, put you out of your misery. With her, it's happening at like 3 times normal speed, though.
Yeah, because I think she realizes finally the consequences of her actions, that it's too late, that she can never come back from this now. I mean, not only does she have one kid, she has two.
Yeah, the bloom is forever off that rose. Yeah, you're not going to be
and
returning.
She does not look like a happy camper. No, she looks like she thinks she chose poorly.
Not going to be in fighting form anytime ever again, sister.
Yeah.
Well, we heard that thing.
Oh, the dancing video.
Dancing video where she's sort of just like a bad polar bear, just flailing around, like some sort of a limping manatee. And then because she had been on that list of the 500 hottest whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, she didn't even place. Like, she had been number one. I think it was FHM that did the 500 hottest women on earth were there. And she was like number one, number four, number one, number two. This year, gone. Not even gone without a trace. Sank like a bad fuselage in the Atlantic. It's not even on the list. All right. Is that the end of the Britney
Watch? That is the end of the Britney
Watch. All right, there's your Britney Watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Show. In a minute, we'll do A classic corpse watch on the Rick Emerson Show here. Let's, is this our good friend, former godlike program director of the Rick Emerson Show, Bruce Agler. How are you, sir?
Very, very good. A classic corpse watch?
It's a new feature in the Rick Emerson Show.
Does that mean you're bringing back an old one, or it's just an especially good one?
Well, you'll have to wait and find. See, we're guaranteeing it. See, if you haven't heard it, it's new to you.
Building, oh, I see.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, it's like NBC Thursday night. We're building tunes.
That's what I'm saying. We're building repeat listening. Yeah.
Yes. I just wanted to let you know that although the Dominican Republic and Haiti share the island of Hispaniola, that's what the island is called, that you couldn't find two more completely different places. Haiti is a former French colony where it's populated almost entirely by black people who speak French. And the Dominican Republic is a former Spanish colony, which is not much different than other places in, say, Central America or Mexico or, you know, Caribbean islands that were former Spanish colonies. And Haiti, as you say, is a horrible place.
Isn't Haiti that place, though, where we just prop up dictators who just burning people up?
It's the place where you remember Papa Doc Duvalier.
Oh, yeah,
right?
yeah.
And then after him, Baby Doc Duvalier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was run for by that family for, I don't know, 50 years or something, the probably worst
dictator
in history, except for maybe Idi Amin. Uganda might have been the only one who was any worse.
I was just going to say, they were neck and neck with Idi Amin and the weird killing people.
And you know, it's a voodoo, all that voodoo culture like you think of in New Orleans and stuff comes from Haiti. So it's a very weird, spooky place, and they all believe in that weird voodoo culture and all of that. The Dominican Republic isn't nearly as bad.
It
doesn't seem like a great place for Brad Pitt, but I would think Costa Rica or something would be a little bit more his taste than the Dominican Republic.
All right, so I know in the future they both share the island of what?
Hispaniola. Yeah, there's a great movie about Haiti, and I wish I remembered the name of it. They came out about 20, 30 years ago that depicts how Haiti got to be the way it was. Haiti was essentially one giant sugar plantation owned by the French. And, you know, a lot of French colonies were that way. They, you know, the Spanish colonies, they just sort of came in and kind of ran things but let the people, you know, have themselves.
Right.
Whereas the French would come in and they would just kill everybody who was there and then bring in a bunch of slaves and run the place as a giant plantation. But that's what Haiti was.
You know,
and at some point, all the slaves rebelled against the French, and there was this huge war, riot, whatever you'd want to call it. And it's a rather fascinating history of that.
Boy, the number of things we learn on this show, really, and just going right from Clyde to you, we really cover all ends of the spectrum.
And Shia LaBeouf was the young star of the second Project Greenlight project.
How is it that you know who Shia LaBeouf is
because
and I don't?
Project Greenlight.
How did they ever release the Project Greenlight movie that was featured last year?
Oh, Feast?
Yeah, as far as I know, they haven't ever finished that movie. Has anybody heard anything about it?
I know. Okay, now we've gotten totally off track. Here's what happened with Project Greenlight, the third season, which was the best of all the seasons, I think.
Right. Oh, yes, by far.
With, what's his name, John Gulager, who was Clue Gulager's son, who was fantastic.
Yes.
John Gulager, who was the star of Project Greenlight 3, everybody I know loved Project Greenlight Season 3. He made this B-horror film, this kind of splatter horror film called Feast.
Right, but then they never finished it, right? That's where they left.
Well, they did finish it. I've actually read online reviews from people who went to sort of sneak screenings of it and focus group screenings of it. But apparently what happened is, right as he finished Feast, the Weinsteins had that horrible split.
Right, yeah, you got all tangled up in the Disney.
Yeah, and the Miramax Disney divorce, and Feast is like sitting on a shelf because nobody wants to claim it. It's just sitting there, and nobody, it's caught between two parents right now, and nobody's putting it out.
I thought the Weinsteins had hung on to that for themselves.
Maybe, but it's you know, those guys are just so fickle, and it's got to be at the bottom of their release schedule.
But it was,
so.
It was supposed to be finished and come out this summer. Well, the last summer, right? The end of last summer, which it never did.
Yeah, so I'll let you know if I hear, because I know that there are people who have seen the completed film. So.
But anyway, Shia LaBeouf was the star of the only Project Greenlight to actually be released in a wide theater release, the second one.
Okay, excellent. And that was the Battle for Shaker Heights or whatever?
The Battle for Shaker Heights.
See, I know my pop culture, you bastard. All right, there you go. Former godlike program director Bruce Agler on the Rick Emerson Show.
Why can't we show that here? We can empty theaters.
It's 503-733-2970. Well, we're up here where the coin, what is it, whatever that theater used to be.
Yeah.
And it's just a big empty, lot now. Yeah, so Feast is done. That John Gulager film is finished. I know people who have seen it. And then it's just like, it's sitting somewhere. And it's just that nobody wants to put it out. So damn shame is what it is. What an odd show this has already been.
I learned a lot today.
I learned something today. Don't go to Haiti. Shia LaBeouf is not a gay porn star. And yet a feast is done, but will never be seen by human eyes. It's 503-733-2970. See, the Shia LaBeouf thing is one of those...
Shia LaBeouf.
Whatever. It just makes it. I don't even know if it's a man or a woman. Is it a man?
It's a boy.
It's a boy.
Yeah.
There used to be a country star named Sleepy LaBeouf. That's who I thought they were talking about.
There's no country star named Sleepy LaBeouf.
Yes, there is.
There isn't. There's...
Well, I'm going to have to get online and...
Isn't LaBeouf... No, LaBeouf was one of those... Wasn't LaBeouf one of the guys on Hogan's Heroes? Was he the French guy? With the little
no,
beret?
No, that was LeBeau. That was Corporal LeBeau.
I don't even understand what you're talking about anyway. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
An hour at long last because we made you wait forever. Coming up with the classic corpse watch.
Oh, wait, hold on. Is it the classic corpse watch?
It is the classic.
Wait, hold on. Let me start it off right. Remember when somebody died?
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone.
With the 7-year anniversary of her death occurring, Dana Plato's son is speaking out about the cause of his
7 years?
Passing. It's been 7 long years.
It has not been 7 years since Dana. God damn.
Time passes by.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tyler Lambert, Plato's only child, says he doesn't believe the official cause of death, which was suicide.
In the autopsy report, she had a certain number of pills in her stomach
drunk.
That was already dissolved. And she also had a certain number of pills in her esophagus and in her throat that weren't dissolved. So it would take time for those pills to dissolve in your stomach and already be passed out. So in my mind, I think the ones were jammed down her throat.
Okay, apparently she left behind enough pills to satisfy the needs of her son, though.
Fetal alcohol syndrome, I believe that's called.
Somebody, listen to how drunk this guy sounds.
In the autopsy report, she had a certain number of pills in her stomach that was already dissolved. And she also had a certain number of pills in her esophagus and in her throat that weren't dissolved. So it would take time for those pills to dissolve in your stomach and already be passed out. So in my mind, I think the ones were jammed down her throat.
This sounds exactly like the guy who comes by and roots through my trash and then asks me if I've got any more aluminum inside that he can have.
For those of you kids too young to remember...
Okay, now this, by which we mean Sarah, because we were talking about this before the show. Oh, I don't know, it was no 7 years. 1999?
I believe so, yes. That's 7 years. Yep, that would be 7 years.
It doesn't even seem possible. It seems like it was just a couple years ago. Well, whatever. But we were talking about this before the show, that you, Sarah, if you want to feel old, kids, so we're talking before the show, and Tim said, and we'll have this, the death of Dana Plato 7 years ago. And Sarah said, who is Dana Plato?
Well, it's not like I was young. I was in college in 99.
I know, but I just want
to... I guess I was just uneducated. No, who was she? How did...
So you have no idea. Does the name even sound familiar to you?
Mm-mm.
Well, Dana Plato rose to fame in the NBC sitcom Different Strokes, which is spelled wrong with an apostrophe. After she left the series in 1984, her career spiraled downward. Plato would later end up doing some softcore pornography and getting arrested twice. On May 8th, 1999, Dana died of an overdose of painkillers in Moore, Oklahoma. The coroner ruled the death a suicide based on the amount of drugs in her system. She was only 34. Meanwhile, Tyler Lambert, who's her only child, refuses to give the person's name, but he explains he thinks he knows who killed his mother.
The person in question took pictures of her while she was dying and her lungs was filling up with air. And he says he took these pictures because she was snoring. He said that he thought she was snoring. Well, they don't take pictures of sound. So why would you take pictures of someone snoring?
I don't even understand what we're talking about. Okay. Tonight at Ground Zero Lounge, Tyler Lambert will be talking about the taking pictures. The weird thing about that is I remember hearing her on the radio the day before she died. It was like the morning before where she was doing exactly, it's so fantastic and predictable. It was doing what the people like this always do. She was on the radio the day before, and what was she saying, Sarah? Even without knowing who Dana Plato is, you know exactly what was going on. She died, she overdosed on painkillers. The day before she was on the radio, and what was she saying?
But she's put that behind her.
Clean and sober.
Yeah.
Living life. She's getting the natural high now of being with her chillins and leading a healthy, wholesome family life.
And God.
In the warm, yes, in the warm embrace of Jesus Christ.
In Oklahoma.
Who has delivered her from all badness. So there you go. All right. Now let me ask you this. Have you seen an episode of Different Strokes?
No.
You've never seen an episode of Different Strokes?
Mm-mm.
You're 24?
25.
25? Yeah, but it's 25, so that's what? You were born in 80, 81?
80.
Born in 80, but I mean, even...
We weren't allowed to watch very much TV when I was young.
So it's not maybe an age thing so much as it is like a you thing.
No, I mean, I watched quite a bit of TV. I just didn't watch Different Strokes.
Aren't you the same person that has never seen an episode of Gilligan's Island?
Yes.
That's all kinds of weird. That's all kinds of strange. How about this? Can you...
You're getting so flustered.
No, It's fascinating. Can you, Sarah Dillon, can you name 4 of the 6 Brady children? Can you name 3 of the 6 Brady children?
I'm choking on my coffee.
That's okay.
Peter...
I'll take a picture of you breathing later.
Peter, Marcia...
Come on.
Alice is not one of the Brady.
Okay, at least you know that. Yeah. Alice is not one of the Brady children. All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's okay. I didn't know what's his guts from C-Lab 2020. Or who was that guy that died?
Oh, Jonathan Brandis.
And he was what? He was from some show?
Yeah, I was just having a conversation with him about him this weekend. He was in Neverending Story Part 2, and he was in Ladybugs with Rodney Dangerfield.
But he was also from something.
He was in some TV show. Yeah.
And he was in some... He was
in stuff, pills in his esophagus.
What was that show with Roy Scheider? DSV, Sequest, something
C-Quest,
or other? Sequest. And he hung himself, right?
Yeah, because I guess he had a part in a movie that was coming out. I can't remember, some war movie, and they cut it out, and he just realized... Well, this way said that he was never going to be successful and hung himself in his apartment.
Well,
killing yourself over your part being thrown in the trash.
I mean, seriously, you can't be killing yourself every time you end up on the cutting room floor.
Some people would have hung themselves at least a dozen times.
Says Tim, who was 3rd alien from the left. And what was that show?
It was a remake of The Invaders.
Yeah, all right. And you were an alien, were you not?
I was the lead alien.
Oh.
I still have my gloves.
How can they cut out the lead alien?
They cut out all the aliens.
What kind of an alien invader program is this?
They only showed it once after they realized people were waiting for the aliens and never saw them.
They just go to stock alien footage. We're getting behind here, but we'll have to come back and talk about this. But there are certain things that are... When you look back, there are certain things, though, that are like absolute rock solid. Like, they've got to be generational... dividing lines. They've got to be. And I think, television is a big one of those things. Like, to me, like, the Brady Bunch is a huge generational thing. Is it like an age thing, or is it like a you not watching a lot of TV thing?
Well, I watched a lot of TV. I think it might be an age thing.
All right.
Because I grew up in the time of, like, USA, like, you know, up all night. I just watched, like, a lot of, you know, crappy, like, Silk Stockings and Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
See, I watched Silk Stockings, but it's like, if you start quizzing me on Parker Lewis Can't Lose, I got nothing.
Yeah, and we watched reruns of, like, 21 Jump Street, and My So-Called Life was that when I was younger.
All right. Do you remember life without a VCR?
Yes.
You do?
No.
You have no idea, do you?
No, well, when we lived in Spain when I was younger, my parents' friends in the States would always send us, like, you know, outdated, like, 6-month-old tapes of Sesame Street. That's what we watched.
This is fascinating. We'll talk more about this, because I want to know more about this. It's 503-733-2970. I'll tell you what, hold on, where's my, so there you go, this has been a thing. This has been a classic Corpse Watch. Back after this on the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. We will return momentarily.